The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Hello to all of you. It is a pleasure for me to welcome you here in the Jupiter Room for the first session of Libra Planet 2022, Day 2. I'm Adrien, and I will be monitoring this session. You can find me in the Libra Planet Room Jupiter ISC channel as Neox. Since I'll be moderating the question and answer time, feel free to mention my name to ask questions at any time. I'll do my best to get them. Today's talk is titled Design in the Command Line, Recipes for Tasty Outcomes, and will be presented by Ana Isabel Carvalho and Ricardo Lafuente of Manufactura Independente. Manufactura Independente is a research studio for design and graphic communication focused on free software, free culture, and critical engagement with design tools. It's up to you.
Thank you. Hey, thank you so much. First off, thank you, Libra Planet, for having us and providing us with this great opportunity to share some of our stuff with you. So our talk is really about the command line and how you can design inside it and the kind of things that you can find there and the kind of weird ways that you can and we have used it. Our first question is exactly why. Why would you use a command line when design in computers has been so defined by graphical user interfaces? Here it's Mac Paint 30 years ago, but not that different nowadays if you look at Photoshop and other Adobe tools. One of the clear aspects of graphic design software is it's, of course, visual. The kind of problem with visual interfaces is that your idea of telling the computer what to do is limited by your ability to move your hand and point to stuff with your mouse. And here is where the question why a command line approach to design might make sense and might complement revealing and possibly novel kinds of design practices. Why then would you use command line command line tools for creating visual outcomes? Well, they're fast. The thing that you can, because you specify things with word and language, you can repeat stuff and then add to it, meaning that it becomes composable. You can make more and more complex operations, one after the other, after you're iterating with them. Then you can also script with those, meaning that you can take the commands and use your favorite programming language to put them all together. And finally, it's also easy to share because it's all text. The way that you share a procedure or a technique is just by copy-pasting a bit of text. And that's quite special when you think of physical ways of doing things or graphical user interface ways of working. It's what it brought to our own practice is really the notion of graphic workflows. We can really make a set of operations that then we can tweak and reuse for a later date. We'll show you a bit of what we've been doing for print and some stuff for the web too. The one little detail is that it's not super easy to pick up. Not only, like I said, graphic design is very close to visual output. So it becomes, it's very alien for designers to get into it, especially if you provide them just start with a man page, which is also a pretty foreign interface for someone who's not used to it. So before we get into the practical stuff, the one thing that we got was really a discipline for documenting our recipes. The shell history, I'll probably get back to this later, is the best thing to just keep a documentation if you're a lazy person, well, like we are a bit. But so let's start with some of the recipes that we find really useful in our day-to-day design practice. So first one is, unsurprisingly, Image Magic. It's the simplest way to edit, hack, or create bitmap images on your command line. So first one, easy way to resize all the images in a directory, say if you want to put stuff on the web, or a conversion of files, or finally, just also PDF creation, which is something that usually people don't associate with Image Magic, but you can very easily convert a folder made out of JPEG files into a single PDF, for instance. At the same time, with bitmaps, you can also hack the metadata with command lines. So for instance, the first command is something that we really keep close to our heart because it's really for about erasing metadata from images. But you can also, at some point, also hack it without the need to open any kind of bitmap editor or any other tool. In the same way, any graphical operation is automatable and repeatable. And for instance, this is a website for a workshop that we did a long time ago. And we wanted all images to have this kind of gradient map, like this, these colors, this brown and light blue thing. So we made a script that converted every single image that we would throw at it into this color scheme. It made a lot easier what until then we were used to make by hand. And then once you can deal with bitmaps, you can just line them together and make animations. And this is a preview, well, not a preview, actually, a showcase of a very recent work. I mean, I don't think we have this in our website, but it's the opening credits for a series of videos that make up a literary festival from Oslo, Norway, around erasure, the experimental erasure techniques. And here, what you're seeing, the graphical effect, is basically just Image Magic run 100 times around the same image using a random algorithm. And from there, we could create animations and also splice them with FFmpeg, which you'll probably know as kind of the Image Magic of video. So here we just made the different images, masks, and the storyboard on paper and created a small script to generate it. It made it really, it became a really different way to edit and create video or animation. This is something that we definitely will want to pick up because it's a really interesting way of working, editing video without a graphical interface is really, really fun. Going into other formats, you know Inkscape, you know SVG, and easy conversion is also available from the Inkscape command line mode, which is really, really useful. And we'd really recommend a look at the application, the man page or Inkscape --help. And I'm now speeding because there's quite a bit that we still want to show. And PDFTK, which you you should know as kind of the one-stop shop for hacking and manipulating PDFs. And this is the simplest command that's super useful, merging many PDF files into a single one. We also do this a lot.
And now we would go into some sort of scripts that we composed for work that that we had. So a few years back, we started working on experimental text, and we did this one project around the scripts that composed the Linux kernel. And this project was called Just a Warning, Don't Kill Logdep. So we went through all the scripts and we hid the code and left only the comments that were documenting the code. And we wanted to create a small booklet for each script where you could just go through the comments and not look at the text, but read the comments. And while we worked on maybe somehow complex workflow to extract the scripts from the repository, the original repository of the kernel, and then pass them through a series of other scripts where we would tag the code and tag the comments so that we then could hide the code and lay out the comments, always trying to keep the space from the original files. And then we would lay them out using WYSIWYG, and from there we would get a PDF where each page would be as you know it in a PDF. But then to go into the next step, which was print, we needed to deal with imposition. And because we were doing layout of A5 pages and we wanted to print these booklets in our home printer, we found a way to compose the A5 pages into double pages in an A4 and do the imposition so that we could easily just send all the different booklets through the script and get the PDFs ready to print at home, and then we could staple them. I'm not sure how familiar you are with imposition, if you're a designer for sure. If not, might be a bit alien. But this idea that you need to create the pairs of pages that will be when you fold the booklet together. And we have a repository where you can also get our scripts and use them to do other paginations.
And now just a quick one to talk about little interesting command line tools that might not be directly related to graphic design, but definitely should fit any kind of workflow designer or not. The first one is .files using GNU Stow, which is a way to replicate your configuration across systems. It's super useful if you have like a desktop computer and a laptop and you want to keep things consistent once you start working with the command line. And I'm sure a good chunk of our audience here knows the thing. All of a sudden, you find yourself with a lot of custom configurations and tweaks. We also enjoy sharing them between ourselves, so we just started the .files repositories. Also, I think quite a lot of you might have online, and we thank you for every single person who places their .files online because they are a learning experience, and we're hoping that in some way our own can join that. So yes, this is a necessity every time we get a new computer or we recover an old one. It's just basically putting the system exactly as we like it, and .files are great for this. This slide is not properly broken, but pretty much spoils the rest. So another one is Atool, which again, some of you will find this probably controversial, but we were a bit sick of trying to figure out which command we should run for every single compressed archive format. Zip, BZ2, gzip, simple tar. We just got tired. So there is this amazing package called Atool, which we found not a lot of people user know around us, we found really surprising that most of our hacker friends don't use it, which basically just replaces all of these commands into two, ANPEC and APEC. There's a couple of others, but this is the end of worrying about compressed file formats. That's helped us a lot. Another non-design use for the command line, but which really feeds into our own design practice, is scraping sources for inspiration. Pretty much like we spent a lot of money a couple of decades ago when we were in design school to get the books that would pretty much give us an idea of what was going on, what was being designed, and what kind of art people were making. That was, well, before the internet, that was it. And it was expensive, it was slow. And right now the world is a lot different, and the internet is an amazing design inspiration resource, and we use it a lot for that. So something that we do, and most, again, I think it's a very good habit, is to keep our own local museum with stuff that we like to look at, or that serves as a good reference for getting visual inspiration for our work. And we scrape a lot for this, and we use the command line for this, and you should too. There is this application, Python application, I think, called Gallery Download, which works for getting galleries from Flickr, Instagram, or Twitter, which are pretty useful for our own collection. They're also useful for classes. And, well, you surely know YouTube DLP, or actually YouTube DL, YT DLP is the most recent fork. And you can get video and audio, again, pretty useful if you find something that you want to keep and you don't want to keep streaming. This is the way, and the command line is really the best. I mean, there is really no graphical application that can just be easier than a single command. And finally, something that we also get is when it's not that easy to use any of the other, you can just use simple for loops in Bash and the trusty old wget to get like a sequence of images, say that you find on a blog. That happens a lot when you find a blog post that you like and they have sequential numbering for the images. That's just great. We can make quick work of that with wget. And yeah, Internet Archive, if we're talking visual inspiration or any other kind of inspiration, there's no bigger rabbit hole than the Internet Archive, where you can find surprisingly complete visual design archives. Even though its focus is more on the internet, you can find a lot of magazines and books, recent and old, to get your head working.
With the LibreGraphics magazine, we also made quite a lot of use of the command line, not only because we were a small team putting together this magazine and we needed to save our efforts, but also because, as you probably know if you work as a designer, is that a big part of the work that we do is repetitive in itself. We get images, we have to resize them, we have to compose them, we have to perform a certain number of tasks that are not specific to a project, but are specific to all the projects in general. And with the magazine, we always had that. We would receive images that we would use for the layout, and we would have to resize them, even if they were, even if we just needed to make them a bit smaller, because we were working with the Git repository and we couldn't just upload the original source image, even though we did it a few times, but not the best practice. And so we learned a quick way to simply reduce the images. They had enough quality to print at the size that we were printing, but not go beyond that. And for example, it was also very common that we would have to make compositions of loads of images. And we did this as a first experiment, like composing all the icons of the oxygen theme for KDE when we interviewed the designer behind them. And we got this folder filled with lots of icons, and we had not a clue of what to do with it. And then we thought, okay, we can do a simple grid. And with Image Magic, it's really simple. We don't need to be importing each of these files and composing them so that we then can create some sort of layout with the images. And when the magazine ended in 2016, we participated in an exhibition that was part of the LibreGraphics meeting that year. And we had to submit two posters about the magazine. And we got to think, okay, so what do we want to put on those posters? And one of the ideas that came to mind was, okay, let's create a composition of all the pages from all the eight volumes, that all the eight issues that we released. And so with a simple command, since we had the PDFs with us, we created just a huge poster that had all the individual pages composed together in a grid. And like we did with the pages, we also created this second poster, which was a mega index with all the articles that were published in the issues. And we used the tool in the command line that we will show briefly. We produced a background using a script, and also used the script to lay out the text in a bitmap font. After the magazine ended, and when we did the magazine, the main focus was the print version, but we always wanted to make the articles available online. And so after it ended, we worked on an archive where we would have the articles in their latest versions in raw formats, because that was one of the issues with the workflow of the magazine, is that we would always fix typos and do edits on the text in the layout file, and those would be lost on the original text file of the article. And so we didn't want to be making a lot of manual work, so we did a series of recipes to extract the files from the layout document, which was a Scribus document, since we did the layout of the magazine in Scribus. And from there, a lot of recipes to parse the files and to extract images and to name them according to the articles, because this was a lot of work that was repeatable and we could automate and make more efficient without going insane. And so, yes, you can have a look at the repository from the LibreGraphics magazine archive, and you'll find in the README a compilation of recipes that we use to extract things from the Scribus file and to parse all the articles and to create the website where we are hosting the digital version of the magazine.
Yeah, we should rush now as we're getting to the end. But another thing, as Anna said, we also worked a bit with ASCII art. And of course, you have to talk about Figlet, which is one of the best newcomer commands that you should teach people when you're introducing them to the command line, because it just gets this amazing visual typography ASCII we can't not love. And because of that, we made an application to draw ASCII art in an image, because we usually found when we wanted to test. Well, Anna, you can actually show the one that.
Okay, maybe we show you some images so that you can have a look. We did this this tool, Badger, when we were commissioned by the FSF to design a sticker to commemorate, I think, 30 years of software freedom. And we wanted to do something that was visually inspired by the looks of the command line and the bitmap interfaces, something old school. And we found that a good way would be to use Figlet and ASCII art to generate text and graphics. But then we wanted to output them using bitmap fonts, like the ones that we're used to in the terminal. And so that's what Badger does. It converts text to image, and it can render ASCII art with bitmap fonts. And when we did this, we found that when you generate an image, depending on the font that you're using, the image will change quite a lot. So we had fun just sending our original files and generating in lots of different fonts, and then having a look, composing grid with ImageMagick to see the results, and from there find, okay, which one did we like the most? And from here, we would combine the outputs. And it was, for us, a really powerful and even a surprise to see that it would really change so much the looks of things as you use different fonts just to do it. This is one of the original stickers. Okay, so I'll rush since we are getting close to the end. Typebeats is a series of workshops that we've been doing for a few years now. And the interesting thing there is that from all these years of practice of designing fonts, we've developed a series of small tools that we combine together in this effort to create a workflow to quickly create a font from scratch. And that's what you can find in the Typebeats documentation website. So we have lots of recipes that use command line tools so that you can quickly, from zero, start to design your own font. It collects the scripts that we did throughout the years in different contexts. So transpacing is a script to transplant spacings from one font to another, which is something that you can only do with Libre fonts. And it was something that occurred to us as we were designing a font, but had no time to work on the spacings. So just by finding a font with similar proportions and that had good spacing, we could quickly import the spacings. And there's the script for doing that. Then we worked on font convert, which was just using FontForge to generate from a single file different different outputs. Then missing the image. Something else called filters to generate alternative versions of a font. And then we put them all together, and we have a repository called Tiny Type Tools that collects these small scripts to deal with typography. And Typebeats goes a bit beyond because it combines the scripts to work with a font, but also finding a way to work collaboratively while designing a font using Git and generating specimens each time you commit. And sort of a specimen website.
So yeah, wrapping it up because we're pretty much nearing our time. The Typebeats workflow is really an example of command line. Using command line tools is more than just fixing parts and bits in your workflow, even though it does it really well. But you really find new ways of doing things. And here, the Typebeats workshop along with its results, and we would invite you to check the website at typebeats.gitlab.io. What happened there was really we started making tools based on the command line for automatic generation of fonts based on existing designs that people would make. And over the years, we started making all these pipelines to generate a website for the font, to process and warn you about errors. It's a huge rabbit hole. I'm using this one again. Also brings to light, we're getting 100 rabbits later today on a keynote who are also one of our biggest references for this kind of working differently and working differently with computers and finding good ways to tell them to do what we want. So wrapping up here and opening up to any questions that you might have, this is our clumsy cookbook of things and procedures with the command line. And from here, I think we would wrap this one up and stick around for any questions that you might have. So thank you to the FSF and Libre Planet again for having us here. Thank you for watching, and we'll stick around for a couple of questions if there are.
Okay, thank you very much. For first question, technical question that appeared in the chat, Is some account needed to clone the .file repo?
Maybe. You know that that's not usually the problem that we find because we're all logged in. Maybe there is one. Oh, sorry about that. I'll open up the .files repo as we speak. Because yeah, that shouldn't happen. It should be public, I think. That's good for
you. Okay. I have another question from Gnutu. You designed some command line tools. Do you know where to find information or how to best design command line interfaces to make the tool easy to use?
Tough one. No, actually, not really, Davy. I mean, it is a complicated field because usually people are so expert around it that. You don't find kind of newbie-friendly resources for this, generally for the command line. So for design purposes, even more.
I think we've good followed question. Most of the tools that we already yeah. knew and maybe in a way didn't think of, how we could make it easier.
Yeah, we... Around last suggestion would be like the man pages are super useful, and like the Image Magic manual, the online thing is really great just to read random stuff and how to do random stuff. You learn a lot. That would be my suggested way. But the other is really just reaching out and reach other people. It's useful to have peers and friends that you can contact. And on our side, we can just say if you email us with a question, we are happy to help. It's a good way to make friends.
Okay. Another question from the Click Guy. Are the command line snippets shown in the presentation available somewhere? Or maybe the presentation is available for download?
We will make it available for download. Not today, we can't promise today, but tomorrow we can post our presentation on our Twitter and Mastodon accounts. So yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Another question from me, for a graphic designer. Imagine a graphic designer who is not used to command lines. How to manage the syntax changes of the programs used, and more generally, what advice could you give to start using command line when you have no background at all?
Make a copy folder to try out the commands first, because we found that many times the operations that you do are irreversible. So if you're resizing images, then you might lose the original file that you had with probably a larger file. And so it's always a good idea and to try around. That's why it's also really useful to keep the recipes later, because many times you fight to figure out how it works and to get to where you want. And then you don't have to go through that when you need it again. And it's also the case that you use these commands not so often, but maybe once a year. And so you won't remember how to write them by heart unless you use them every day. So that's really helpful. And for us with the presentation, it was also a way to put together commands that we had spread around in notebooks and different places. So yes, I would say always backup before you try it out, and then keep the recipes.
Yeah, and if you just don't know where to start, so Image Magic is great to get started, because it's a simple way to generate images, to manipulate them, and I'm very sure you can find a use case for such a tool, like creating your own kind of Instagram-like filters if you have a lot of photos, or color correction, or what have you. Although what we find the work, the animation work that we showed, it really came about because we thought, okay, we want to make this kind of graphical stuff. How can we make it with a command line? So starting a project with a challenge of how you can swap part of your workflow with a command line like scripts, or that's a good way to get going, because otherwise you're restricted to the stuff that you know how to do. And this way you can see what where you want to get. You don't know the way to get there, but then you know what to look for. Like you want to look in the manual to look for, say, how to turn an image into black and white and stuff. So that would be really my suggestion. And Stack Overflow is great for that too. Searching for answers. The manuals are great, and Stack Overflow is also great. And a strong advice I would give is trying to word this as simply as I can. Scripting stuff is okay, and you don't have to rely on the canonical way to do stuff. For instance, we make a lot of Python scripts or PHP scripts for others that call command line applications. And we know that quite a lot of software engineers would just slap us on the face for just daring to not use, say, the Python libraries for that. Sometimes you can get lazy, you can hack. You can hack a lot of stuff. One of the things is, as long as the graphical, the visual result works, it doesn't really matter how awkward or convoluted your own workflow to get there is. And stuff like inserting bash commands into a Python script, for instance, we get along a lot better with Python than bash, say, for making conditions or loops. So it's fair game, even though we haven't read a lot of sympathy for this kind of just hack it. Because even as we're doing professional level work, it's important to also remember your computer, just it's about making your computer do what you want, and hacking is fair game. Hacking up ugly code is more than fair game, as long as you get to a nice visual output.
Okay, thanks, great. Do I have another question? I have a question from Cell that I don't understand very well, but perhaps you'll understand better than me. How is it going with Till.pt?
This is this online community that we basically keep. It's a calm place. It's actually one of our command line playgrounds. So just for those who are not in the loop, Till.pt is just a PubNix web server for friends to get accounts. And we just play in the command line. And it's actually a really nice resource for command line work, because you have to kind of move yourself around the web server. And just that game, that kind of scavenger hunt, getting into a command line once is a great way to get started. And once you know stuff like making small stuff with PHP, for instance, even though it's 2022, PHP is still a lot of fun. How's it going? Pretty calm, because basically it's working, and we'd like to open it up eventually, but we didn't have the time yet to make that. Anyway, we would definitely recommend joining at Tilde. Actually, that's a great way to address the previous question. To get started, join like a Tilde.club similar projects. There's Tilde.club and Tilde.town if you're more art oriented, and there's a lot of them. You just have to look for them, the Tildes. They're a great way to get into terminals and command line and get in touch with networking and make friends, which again is a great motivation to do anything.
And ask for help, because yes, you just sometimes want to do certain stuff in the server and don't know how to. And it's very nice to have other people you can reach out to and ask them how they do it.
Okay, I don't have other questions. For instance, so perhaps what you can do is to be in the chat and answer if there is another question later, and we can call this a good talk, and perhaps see you another time. Next Libra Planet. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Yes, thank you too.